March is upon us here at the Tan and J-Man Show with March Madness starting this weekend. Well, I guess on Thursday, but we will be picking pick by pick in our bracket. It's the first time we've done this where I haven't filled out a bracket yet. I don't think Tanner's filled out a bracket yet. So we will be going pick by pick and giving our preview and our winner. We are the Tan and J-Man Show. I am Josh Munt, and sitting next to me in a different state is Tanner Lee. How you doing out there, T-Dog?
Doing pretty good, J-Man. Sports fandom, my vibes are a lot better than it was a week ago. It's funny.
Crazy.
Also, looks like assume they're going to be called Sonics. Looks like the city of Seattle is going to be getting an NBA team. Yeah. I mean, things got to go through the process, but it looks like Vegas and Seattle might be getting NBA teams that will start in the 2028-2029 season. Which will then move Minnesota Timberwolves and Memphis Grizzlies to the East, makes sense.
Yeah. So. Especially Memphis. Memphis should have been in the East for a long time.
Should have been the East to begin with.
So. And of course, they were in Vancouver first, so it made sense for them to be in the West. But
almost forget they were in Vancouver because they were not good when they were in Vancouver, and they really weren't there very long.
No, I don't remember them ever being good when they were in Vancouver. But they've been in Memphis for over 20 years now.
Yes.
So that's kind of.
I remember when they first moved to Memphis, and I didn't think we were going to go down an NBA rabbit hole to start the week, the episode for March Madness, but that's all right. When they moved to Memphis, the rumor was they were going to be called the Memphis Express because of FedEx.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's cool. But then they just decided to keep Grizzlies. Which I guess Tennessee, not Memphis, maybe, but yeah. Tennessee's got Bears.
Smoky Mountains. Yeah. I don't think they'd have Grizzlies, but they have some Black Bear. Bears.
Bears beats
Battlestar Galactica.
Sad we both thought the same thing.
But as I said, it is March, although I don't know what your weather is there, but we have snow on the ground here.
Yeah, I don't know if it's still on the ground, but it was blowing early. It's been the windiest weather.
It's been
lately
terrible.
Here. It's been ridiculous.
I went out last night. It was super windy, and I went out. It wasn't too cold here last night, but I went out, and the cover for my hot tub was fully submerged in the hot tub. So that water was not very warm to get in. Yesterday, but before we get any further, do you have birdie bogey?
I do, and it is college basketball related.
I figured.
Got to bring up on my phone here. Fran McCaffrey.
Oh boy,
one of your favorites, who's gonna be playing your Illini.
Yes.
His alma mater, Penn. He led them to an Ivy League championship in dramatic fashion. We'll talk about that more later. He is one of five head coaches to lead five or more programs to the NCAA tournament.
Okay.
Name the other four coaches.
Whew. All right. I think I got it because I'm pretty sure I saw this yesterday, but now I got to remember.
Shoot.
I got to remember what coaches they were.
Yes, I was afraid you might have seen it. Yeah, and actually, I got to give credit to our good friend Evan Webb. It's the one who saw this and sent it to me.
That son of a gun. He has ruined so many of my birdie or bogeys putting stuff in our group message. But he texts you separately, gives you one. That son of a gun.
I think they're all rooting for me to win the year-long competition.
Well, it's been a minute because I don't think you've won years.
Yeah, probably.
Birdie or Bogey is brought to you by Giretti's Place. Small town vibes, big time flavor. Giretti's Place serves up fresh breakfast and lunch favorites that keep you coming back for more. Located 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana.
Yeah, let's see what they got on tap right now for specials. I should know this because I saw them posted the other day. I even think I shared it from our page. But, their weekend specials, I went over those last time. On Wednesdays in March, I don't think I went over this, they have a strawberry spinach salad as well as chicken dumpling soup and loaded baked potato soup. And they got new appetizers, the shareable sampler, which that sounds up J-Man's alley.
Oh, yeah.
And the jalapeno poppers, which I've had those. I had those before they hit the market or before they hit the menu. Pretty good. If you like.
I'm a big fan of jalapeno poppers. Have you ever had what's called I think it's a Texas Twinkie?
Yes. Yep.
Fantastic. Jalapeno stuff with like cream cheese and cheese and wrapped brisket or bacon.
On Tuesdays in March, I don't think I said this last week, they have the chicken Philly melt and appetizers to try, fried green beans and chips and salsa. And other sides, if you want to upgrade, cheese curds and cheesy potatoes.
Hold on 1 second. I hear my fire alarm going off.
I can hear that as well.
So I'm going to put you on mute there for a sec.
Yes, I will mute J-Man on my side. While that gets figured out there, but hey, at least J-Man's not in the kitchen. I mean, if J-Man's in the kitchen, I'd expect the smoke alarm to be going off, but no, I digress. But yeah, go to Dreddy's place, like J-Man said, and you can't go wrong with whatever you get there. And for everybody listening, J-Man has left the room, so hopefully everything's all right there. But I'm sure he'll be back momentarily. But, yeah, we know the bracket of 68. J-Man, the opening said March Madness starts on Thursday. Actually starts tomorrow night with the first four games, the playing games. We got one 16-seed matchup tomorrow, one 11-seed matchup, and then followed by the other one on and it's not tomorrow. It's the 19th and 20th. I digress. But I wish they would change that up. I wish the 16 seeds would have to be in first four matchups. I think they should make it, I don't know, but not the 16 seeds. I mean, let them get in the actual field. Don't make them play another game. But the play-in games are, you got UMBC, who is well known as being the first 16 seed to knock off a one seed. And when they did that to Virginia in 2018, they face Howard. And then we got Lehigh faces whoever the abbreviation on the brackets PV is. I don't know if that's Prairie View A&M maybe. And they've got Miami, Ohio, who there was a lot of discussion if they were going to get in the tournament or not. Only lost one game all season, and it was in the MAC tournament. They are facing Southern Methodist, SMU, in the 11-seed play-in. And in the other 11-seed play-in, you got Texas against NC State, which NC State just 2 years ago made the Final Four. In Texas, throughout their history, has made at least one Final Four. I remember them making it in 03 with TJ Ford leading the way, but I think they've made more than just one in their history. But both those teams could be sneaky for BYU, who's the sixth seed there, awaiting the winner. It looks like J-Man might be back. So,
sorry about that. Wife's cooking bacon.
That can happen a lot with the bacon.
Well, in the oven, and our oven at the bottom has one little spot of grease that got been smoky.
There. All right. Been there. I'm back. All I was talking about was the first four coming up on the 19th and 20th, and I was rambling about how I don't think 16 seeds – should have to be in the first four. They should just be in the tournament. That's pretty much what I was doing.
Yeah, completely agree. I'm so out of breath. so bear with me. Yeah, completely agree. If you win your conference tourney, you get the auto qualifier, you need to be in the actual NCAA tourney. I think it should be all bubble teams in the first four, my opinion.
Yeah. Do you think any of these teams in the first four could do some damage? We've seen in the past, we've seen Hex, we've seen VCU make it to the Final Four in 2011. So it's possible. I mean, teams get in and get on a heater. I mean, Texas, NC State, Miami, Ohio, SMU, you see any of them possibly doing any damage?
No, I really don't. I just think it's so top heavy anymore.
It is.
In the NCAA tourney. And Miami, Ohio, great story. I think SMU will smack them around. I mean, Miami of Ohio went 31-1. No quad one wins, only one quad two win. And then they picked up a quad four loss in their conference tourney. And they're pretty fortunate to get in, honestly, which they 100% deserve to get in. Because, I mean, they won all those games, even though they didn't play the highest quality of opponent. You deserve to get in over a team like Auburn. But, no, I don't see any of those teams really. they might be able to win their round of 64 game, maybe, depending on what their matchup is. But going to like even a second weekend, I just don't see it.
Yeah. And before we dive into the bracket region by region, make our game picks, make our dark horse picks, upset picks, Final Four favorites, et cetera, let's talk about the Big Ten tournament a little bit. Interesting tournament. Not a ton of upsets, really. But, you know, once again, when it looks like Purdue and Indiana are going to play head-to-head, didn't happen. Northwestern beats Indiana, then Purdue would go on to beat Northwestern. So still, Purdue and Indiana have only played one time in the Big Ten tournament. That was in the inaugural edition in 1998. They're just not meant to play each other in the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah, I was thinking if they're not going to play in this one with how Indiana's, you know, matchup happened with, you know, playing Northwestern, it honestly might just never happen. I think if Indiana were to win that game, they might have been in Dayton this week.
Yeah. Northwestern, with both those losses towards the end of the season, single-handedly kept them out of the tournament.
You win one of those, you might be in. So
I was surprised to see they were on the first four out, to be honest.
I was too. I thought they'd be further out. Honestly, their wins against Purdue, at UCLA, and at home against Wisconsin. Wisconsin sure. Winning at Purdue and bumping them up to a quad one home win for Indiana, I think, did a lot of heavy lifting for them.
Yep. I agree.
But they really got smacked around against Northwestern. They got up big, not big, but like 8-10 early. And I thought, okay, they're going to kind of blow them out. But then Northwestern went, what, like plus 27 the next like 15 minutes and just really took control. And IU has a lot to they lose a lot. I mean, they lose their top three players. And they'll probably lose more to the transfer portal. So it was kind of a 1 year, hope you get to the tourney and done. And it just didn't happen.
Yeah, it's wild some of the statistics being thrown out around about the Indiana program within the last decade.
Yeah.
And their little tournament success or even making the tournament. It's pretty wild. Thad Mooney, if they ever play in the tourney again, I'm dropping $500 on Powerball that night.
Yeah.
Gamble responsibly, everybody. That's a message from the Tan and J Man show. But other than that, I mean, there were some really good games. In the Big Ten tournament, a lot of games were pretty darn close. Of course, your Illini, they were in a classic that went to overtime. Classic if you didn't have a dog in the fight. I mean, I was watching a game. I didn't care one. I thought it was a really fun basketball game to watch, back and forth. But I will say Illinois got a 15 in the first half and 15 second half and just couldn't hold on. But Wisconsin can shoot lights out when they get going.
Well, the thing that's frustrating, I wasn't able to watch any of the game. I listened to the final.
Probably a good thing.
I listened to the final couple. Well, listening to it's even worse for me. I hate listening to basketball games on the radio. The Illinois radio guy is fantastic. He's a pro, but I like to be able to follow the action with my eyes. So I was able to listen to the final 3 minutes and then all of overtime. And up 15. This team just doesn't have that killer instinct where they can put teams away unless they do it really early. Which they had a chance to do that at UCLA earlier in the year, up 23, and they didn't do that. And that was kind of the first time that's like a doubt kind of crept in. And I think that kind of played a role because it happened first game against Wisconsin at home, up 12, 7 minutes left, and Wisconsin's able to come back and force overtime. The frustrating part is they had two guys, Nick Boyd and John Blackwell, scored every single one of their 91 points except 22 points. I'm really glad Nick Boyd was a 1 year guy because he murdered him twice. I mean, he scored 38 the other day against them. They just couldn't do anything against them and couldn't stop him. Couldn't get a single stop when they needed to. They missed some 1-and-1s. Jake Davis missed a huge 1-and-1 front end of a 1-and-1 with about a minute left. That would have put him up. If he hits both, it puts him up 2. They end up taking a 4-point lead. They're not tough. They miss out on a defensive rebound. They would have given the ball up 2, 45 seconds left. You feel pretty good in that spot. And they weren't able to. John Blackwell gets fouled and goes to the line to tie the game. It's just frustrating. And another frustrating part, and I didn't watch the game, but it sounded like the officiating was pretty bad. There was one in particular that Blackwell got fouled on a shot that Andre Stojakovic did not touch him at all. Wagler gets hammered every single possession. He shot three free throws where Blackwell and Boyd combined for, I think, 22 free throws in the game. In Illinois has one of the lowest foul rates in the country. So that's a frustrating part. Again, not the reason why they blew a 15-point lead. Another thing that's frustrating with Illinois, they get up 15 and then they start jacking up threes early in shot clock, lets teams back in the game. That's exactly what happened. And again, not the end of the world that they lost, whatever. Would have been nice to win one, because I think if you win one, you might be on that two line. Might be if you beat Wisconsin. But they didn't, and that's why they're on the three line, although I think they have a fairly favorable draw
matchups
to at least get to the second weekend. But now they just got to go out and do it.
Yep.
Yeah, so, it's like no excuses.
It's almost like a whole new season now. Yeah. In a way. I mean, you get out of conference play, that can really help certain teams. It can hurt
other
teams.
Very excited for that. Yeah.
It can hurt other teams. It was a good week for my Purdue Boilermakers. I mean, I was dreading, thinking, might have to play 4 days, but played 4 days, got four wins. Took care of business in Northwestern Nebraska pretty easily. Nebraska was such a favorable matchup. But it was still good to take care of business. Nebraska, I think, starting to feel the pressure. I don't know if there's anybody that's coming in this term with more pressure than them.
To at least win one game, yeah.
Just to win a game. and then going in against UCLA, Tyler Bilodeau, who killed Purdue the first time they played. He actually hit the game-winning three. He hurts his knee against Michigan State Friday, and somehow he still beat Michigan State. I was surprised. And then Donovan Dent gets hurt during the game.
Oh, he did.
He hurt his calf not even halfway through the first half, and they sent him out for the rest of the game. So you credit to UCLA. They hung in there without their best players. Of course, your wife, sorry for the brief break at today's show. Burt Bacon equals one, Megan equals zero. Been there. They hung in there, and the internet was ripping Matt Painter for resting his starters a lot during the game. Like, he was sitting Braden Smith for long periods of time, which he normally doesn't do. I think it paid off yesterday.
Oh, for sure.
Even though they were playing their fourth game in a row, Michigan was playing their third game. Purdue wore Michigan out.
They did.
Michigan looked tired. Yaxel looked tired, chasing Braden Smith around. And Mara, you know, he's a great shot blocker. But they exposed him a little bit yesterday out front at the top of the key. And Purdue was a tougher team yesterday against Michigan. Yeah. I didn't think I'd be saying that. It helps when Michigan didn't throw everything in, you know, like they did the first time when they played at Mackey. Michigan couldn't miss. Helps that they weren't hitting their open threes. But, you know, it was a tie game at half, and Purdue kind of jumped on them to start the second half and controlled the whole second half. Braden Smith was phenomenal. He's phenomenal all Big Ten tournament long.
How many assists away is he?
One from tying, two from breaking.
So he's going to do that on Friday then.
He should do it Friday, hopefully early. And then every Purdue fan wants him to get it done quick, because we're kind of tired of hearing it, and we think he's been focusing on that so much and the team a little bit to where it's hindered the team. So get that done. Take care of business.
After the Wisconsin game, they might have had a come to Jesus meeting because they had not played very well for 6 weeks, and they look like a completely different team. And postseason play has a way of doing that too.
Yeah, Trey Kaufman-Wren was a beast, especially yesterday. Michigan didn't have an answer for him in the first matchup either. And Oscar Clough was phenomenal this week.
He was,
made all Fernie team. Fletcher Lawyer was good when he's hitting threes. He helped. So yeah, Purdue. I mean, this Purdue played like a lot of Purdue fans thought they would going into this year. And I guess better late than never. You still got work to do in the NCAA tournament, though. I mean, they know better than anybody. You can get beat by any team with any number next to their name. Doesn't matter if they're a 15 seed. Yep. They got beat by a 16 seed 2 years ago, so, or 3 years ago. So, but I'm feeling a lot better than I was a week ago. But like you brought up, with Illinois losing and Michigan State losing, and with Purdue winning yesterday, Purdue went from a 3 to a 2. If Purdue loses yesterday, they're probably 3 seed. Michigan State's probably the 2. So,
I'm happy for that, because in years past, the conference tourneys had no bearing.
Because they told us they didn't.
They told us. And now, very clearly this year, they did, and I'm very happy for that.
Yep.
that Purdue was able to bump up to it. I'm not happy Purdue was able to bump up to a two over my team, but the fact that they win 4 days and four games in 4 days helped them. Yeah. Where in years past, even I saw on Twitter earlier in the week, like, nothing after Thursday matters is what people were saying on Twitter. That was very wrong, and I'm very very happy for that, because why play conference tourneys?
Exactly.
Why play conference tourneys in the big conferences where you know a team that's not going to be an at-large is not going to win the conference tourney? When's the last time that's happened? Besides, I mean, NC State did it 2 years ago. That was an aberration. It really helps that finally that's happening.
Thad Mooney on Facebook, make Josh get you parchment paper for the oven.
Well, Josh needs to clean the oven. It's not that bad.
At least you're taking responsibility.
I had a frozen pizza the other day, and you know how sometimes it drips over a little bit. And I didn't clean it right away I should have, and that's what started smoking.
Man, it burns easy. Yep.
It does.
This is why we're really good friends. This is why we do a podcast together, because been there.
Oh, yeah. You should have seen the oven at our last house where it was a disaster. It took me 3 hours to clean that thing before we moved. So I got to stay on top of this one.
By the time you moved, were you able to cook in it? Like,
I think we ate out because we just didn't want to have to do dishes or anything.
Didn't want to mess with the alarm. Or not only that, if it's too...
I don't want to clean it again.
Smoky inside, it ruins the flavor of the food.
Yeah, exactly.
Get on the food. What a rabbit hole we're going down there. Feel good about Purdue is funny. You know, Brain Smith rips his own jersey the first half yesterday. How frustration of missing shots. So you have to get the extra jersey. You know, they pack extra jerseys.
I tuned in. I saw him in 41. I thought he got blood on it or something.
He did this. Called it and it ripped. So then he wears 41. He was 0-for-3 shooting in wearing number 3. And then he goes on a tear wearing 41. Jokes on Purdue Online's like, glad he didn't get the record in 41 because that would have been weird.
Yeah.
Years from now. But it's the top selling NI thing in the NIL store at Purdue's 41 jersey with no name on the back.
It's like Jordan's 45.
Yeah. Yeah. So it'll be in Purdue lore from now on. Yeah. But, you know, growing up, I remember for years, Purdue was not good at the Big Ten tournament. Mm-hmm. And now they are 3-4 in championships. They've made 7 championships now. And they've won 2 of the last, 4. So
two of the last 4.
I think 2 of the last 4. Well, they won the year they lost to Fairleigh Dickinson. They won.
Yeah.
23. They lost in 24, 25. Yeah. That'd be the 2 last 4. So, Matt has a winning record in it now. So it's kind of.
Yeah. I remember for years you guys were saying Purdue's just terrible at this tournament. And it kind of turned around a little bit.
I'm not trying to pick on Indiana, but they're terrible at it.
They are terrible at it for sure. I mean, they've only been to a title game once,
and it was in early 2000s. I think it was like 01, 02, 03, something.
I don't even remember the last time they made it to Saturday. I think it's been a minute.
Iowa beat them back in 22 with that long buzzer beater.
That's right, because
you're going over.
IU was the 8 or 9, and they beat 1-seeded Indiana or 1-seeded Illinois.
And then they made the Saturday on your wedding. And lost to Penn
they
State.
They did, lost to Penn State. So I'm
looked
an
like it was going to be Purdue and Indiana in the championship.
They lost to Penn State. I do remember that.
Yep. But any other thoughts on the Big Ten tourney or any other conference tourney before we dive into the
regions? I'll be honest. I didn't watch any other high major conference tourney, not a single second of them. I watched a good bit of the final couple minutes of the Ivy League, which was fantastic. Yale choked so hard. With 6 seconds left, guy hits a 3 to cut it to 1. They come down, hit 2 free throws. They didn't foul stupidly and hits
probably because his Ivy Leaguers were doing the calculations in their head of the percentages. They could lose with a 4-point lead, 6 seconds.
But old Franny boy back in the tourney, as you said in your trivia question.
Yep, but let's dive right into it. Bracket, starting with, and I'll fill out a bracket for each of us. I got it over here on the monitor so I can save it and we can see how we're doing.
All right. Well, I'm doing it on mine as well.
Okay. But Duke against Siena.
I'm going to take Duke in that one.
Me too. Cena is coached by Jerry McNamara,
Jerry Mac.
Syracuse legend. Cena's first tournament appearance since 2010.
They with lost Fran, right?
In the first round with Fran. Yes. Thad Mooney, 4 - 1 = 3. Number three needs 2 assists to get record. 3 × 2 = 6 to win title by Charlie Day. String board math. I got it. He must wear 41. I got what he's saying. 8 seed Ohio State, 9 seed TCU.
TCU, the only thing I know about them is obviously Jamie Dixon, and then Brock Harding, former Iowa guard, is their point guard. But Ohio State, the way they've been playing, they lost a tough one to Michigan, but they handled Iowa. They've been playing really good. Give me Ohio State.
TCU's on a heater.
So, yes, they are.
I like Bruce Thornton in this game to have kind of a one last moment at Ohio State. Give me the Buckeyes. And, yeah, Diebler's not going anywhere.
No.
So, St. John's, 5 seed. I think they kind of got screwed a little bit.
I do, too. Yeah.
Winners of the Big East tournament or Big East regular season and the Big East tournament, right? Or did they win the Big East regular season? Because UConn didn't.
Would have had to have been St. John's then.
Yeah, but UConn got the 2 seed. Facing 12 seed Northern Iowa, who's been an upset specialty.
Yeah. Northern Iowa has not been in since they blew that 12-point lead with less than a minute to go to A&M back in 2016 or 2017. St. John's, that's a rough five. Like, that's a team that I think is playing like a 2 seed or better that they have been the past 2 months or so. Ben Jacobson has a good thing going there at Northern Iowa, though. But give me St. John's on that one.
Yeah, I'll take St. John's and Patino. I think they want revenge from last year. They were so hyped last year going in. A lot of people's Final Four, if not national champion prediction, they flamed out early.
Yep.
So Kansas, number 4 seed against 13 seeded California Baptist. I had never heard of that school until yesterday.
Yeah, first time they've made the tourney. I think it was their first year eligible, too, much like Queens, who Purdue plays. Give me Kansas. That'll be too much for California.
I really want to take California Baptist.
I do too.
Kansas. I'm taking Kansas there. 6 seed Louisville against 11 seed South Florida, winners of the AAC tournament.
Louisville's been kind of an enigma. They're so good and then they're so bad. I want to take South Florida, but I think I'm going to go very chalky this year, which is kind of the way college basketball has been here the past 2 years or so. Give me Louisville.
Give me the Bulls, South Florida.
I love it.
I watched a little bit of them, liked what I saw.
Their coach is a hot name, Brian Hodgson, who took over for, I forget what his name, but he passed away 2 years ago, who had a good thing going there too. But anyway, yeah, he's a candidate for, I think, the Syracuse job.
Sneaky good athletics down there at South Florida.
Yeah, I actually have a stat here of why I'm probably going to go chalky. All 4 5 seeds are at least 8-point favorites or better over 12 seeds for the first time since the field expanded to 64. The average spread in the 4-13 games is 14.3, which is the largest ever. In the 3-14 games, it's 19.5, which is the largest ever. And all 4 2 seeds are at least 20-point favorites over 15 seeds for the first time since 1986.
Thank you, Transfer Portal.
So, yeah, yes, it is. It's really hurt the mid-majors.
3 seed Michigan State against 14 seed North Dakota State.
Michigan State's kind of lost their edge defensively here recently. They gave up a ton of points to Michigan and UCLA, which was the surprising part was UCLA. But they shouldn't have an issue with North Dakota State. Give me Michigan State.
I'm taking Sparty as well. This might be Izzo's last best chance to get to.
It might, yeah. Fears will be back. So will Carr, likely. I mean, you never know. He loses big guys, Kohler and Cooper.
7 seed UCLA against 10 seeded University of Central Florida, UCF.
You know, Johnny Dawkins came in on a very hot seat this year for UCF. They have one of the lowest NIL, if not the lowest in the Big 12. And he had a surprisingly good year. I think they're picked to finish second or third to last in the Big 12 this year, and they got in. But give me UCLA. I think UCLA's been playing some pretty good ball here the past couple of weeks.
You know, it's very unlikely, but we could see USF versus UCF in the Sweet 16.
I like it.
That would be fun. That'd be a lot of fun. give me the Bruins as well, assuming Denton and Bilodeau are both able to go.
Which they even said – Bilodeau, if it was the NCAA tournament, he would have gone on Saturday, and they just held him out to keep him safe.
Smart.
Which I'm assume the same thing for Dent, too.
Yeah, smart. But, yeah, UCLA's pretty tough when they're making shots.
They do have to go to the East Coast, though. So that'll be an interesting one for them.
Number two, UConn, champions two of the last 3 years against 15 seed Furman.
UConn, for sure.
Got UConn as well. Heading over to the West, one seed Arizona against 16 seed Long Island.
Zona, for sure, for sure, for sure.
Arizona. 8 seed Villanova against 9 seed Utah State, making the tournament for the 4th straight year.
Villanova has not beaten a team in the top 50 in KenPom, I think, all year. Did I read that correctly? Give me Utah State, although there are rumors flying around about him taking some job.
Yeah, they're a feeder school for other people.
Yep. But they have a very good program consistently, though, which is saying good things.
Give me the Cats, the setup Cats versus Cats, Arizona versus Villanova. 5 seed Wisconsin against 12 seeded High Point in the tournament 2 years in a row. I've seen a lot of people pick High Point in the upset. I've seen a lot of people have Wisconsin going to Final Four. So,
yeah, Wisconsin's a sexy Elite Eight Final Four pick, which usually means they're probably going to lose on Thursday. But give me Wisconsin in that one.
I'm taking Wisconsin as well. I think it could be a close game, but I think Wisconsin's too good offensively. 4 seed Arkansas, winner of the SEC tournament against 13 seed Hawaii. I did watch a little Hawaii's game the other night.
Hawaii runs a fascinating brand of basketball where they play zero help defense.
Yep.
Zero help defense. So it'll be an interesting look for Arkansas. Darius Acuff might be the best guard in college basketball. Potential top 3 pick, if not number 1 overall pick. Give me Arkansas.
I'm taking the Razorbacks as well. BYU versus the winner of Texas, North Carolina State.
Give me BYU. That's a scary 6, even though they are without Richie Saunders.
Yeah, they're a little banged up. Mm-hmm. They got the nation's leading scorer on their team. But, part of me really wanted to take the winner of Texas, NC State, especially if it's Texas. But
yeah,
I can never get myself to do that. Interesting note my dad sent me today. This is the 10th time since 2017 that a Final Four team from the year prior did not make the tournament. It's Auburn this year.
Interesting.
NC State previous year. Gonzaga 3 seed against 14th seeded Kennesaw State.
Give me the Zags.
I'm taking the Zags as well. 7 seed Miami has faced 10th seed Missouri in St. Louis.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of Miami fans complaining about it and just forgetting the fact that they got to play a home national championship game in football just a couple months ago. Give me Missouri, though. I think Miami's probably better, but I think the St. Louis factor, although the one game Missouri played in St. Louis this year, they lost by 43. That was one of my favorite games of the year.
Right that night, I didn't think there was any chance they were making the tournament.
I know, and they got hot credit Dennis Gates there. Give me Missouri.
I'm taking Miami. I think they are better. A lot of former Big Ten faces.
Yeah. Miami. Yeah. Malik Renew, Trey Donaldson.
And then 2 seed Purdue gets 15 seed Queens from Charlotte, North Carolina, not New York.
Give me Queens. give me Queens in that one. I'm just kidding. Give me Purdue.
Nothing would shock me anymore, but I do
think I would be shocked.
Handles that one. Down to the Midwest, we go 1 seed Michigan against either 16 seed UMBC or Howard.
Michigan. I don't think UMBC's got any more magic left in them with that 16 over 1.
If they do, I don't even know. This game could be a really good one. 8 seed Georgia against 9 seed St. Louis.
Give me St. Louis. So we got Kareem Abdul-Jabbar there and Robbie Avila. Josh Church signed a huge extension. He's one of the hottest names in college basketball. Give me St. Louis.
I will take Georgia.
I don't know much about Georgia. Mike White's
the coach. They have Cannon Catchings, a one-time Purdue commit that then played at BYU last year. Now he's at Georgia. They're very athletic, but I don't know much about them. But they got there. Tom Crean couldn't get them there.
Yeah,
Mike White got him there. So, 5th seed Texas Tech, even without Toppin, against 12 seeded Akron Zips.
I want to take Akron. Man, Johnny Gross has a good thing going there in Akron. They've won 42 of their last 44 MAC games. No JT Toppin for Tech, but I'm still going to take Tech because they can bombs away from 3.
I really want to take Akron as well, but I'm taking Texas Tech. Would shock me though. I know you've been preaching John Gross deserves a bigger job.
He does.
Hey, Butler's open now with Thad Mata retiring.
So. Honestly, that's probably a pretty good fit.
That would probably be. Four seed Alabama against 13th Street Hofstra.
Alabama's second leading scorer, Aiden Holloway, just got picked up for a pound of marijuana.
Yeah, not a little bit, a pound.
He's going to serve some prison time for that one, you'd imagine, especially in Alabama. He has been kicked off of campus, so I can't imagine he's going to be playing, although Nate Oates is slimy enough that he can find a way. Give me Hofstra just because of the distraction and losing one of your best players. You also have the distraction of the Bediako, even though that's kind of been resolved. Yep. Give me Hofstra. No major upset.
Hofstra Pride, I believe, is their nickname. Mm. I think that's their nickname. I could be wrong. I think they're Pride. I'm taking Alabama, but I hope you're right. I really hope you're right. 6-seed Tennessee against the winner of 11-seed Miami, Ohio, and SMU.
Give me Tennessee. I think Jacoby Gillespie and Nate Ament will beat too much.
I am taking Rick Barnes and the Vols as well. I'm just so glad Purdue's not in their region.
Yeah.
Starting a home and home with them next year, so I can't get away from these guys. 3-seed Virginia gets 14-seed Wright State.
Give me Virginia. It's kind of nice to see Virginia. I know you hate them just for the, you know, the whole thing in 2019, but it's nice to see Virginia back after a multi-year absence. But Ryan Odom has a really, I think that's it's a good thing going there.
I don't hate them. I'm more jealous of them. They were a team of destiny. They should have lost Elite Eight, Final Four, Championship, found a way to win all three.
So yep. Yeah.
Who knows of them? I'm taking the Cavaliers as well. 7-seed Kentucky against 10-seeded Santa Clara.
First time Santa Clara has been in the dance since Steve Nash was there. So it's been almost 30 years. Give me Kentucky, though. I think their size will be too much.
I am taking Santa Clara. And Pope is officially on the hot seat going into next year.
Yeah, if they lose Santa Clara, I would say he's definitely on a hot seat.
Iowa State versus Tennessee State.
Iowa State.
Yeah, Cyclones are playing pretty good basketball. Lost a heartbreaker to Arizona in the semifinals of the Big 12 tournament. South region, Florida versus Lehigh, and it says PV. Is that preview? I don't know.
That's what I was thinking, but I honestly don't know. I don't think it matters. I think it is Prairie View A&M. Give me Florida, large.
Yeah. Clemson versus Iowa, the 8-9.
Two of the slowest tempoed offenses in the country. First one to 55 wins this game. Clemson's without I think their second or third leading scorer, 10 points a game. Give me Clemson, though. I can't pick Iowa in anything.
I'm picking Clemson. I don't like the way Iowa's been playing the last month.
No, I agree with you.
5-seed Vanderbilt, who played really well in the SEC tournament, getting all the way to the game. Smoked Florida against 12-seed McNeese, who's back in the tournament yet again.
Vandy being a 5 is kind of a rough seed line for them, too. They probably could have been a 3 or 4, especially with the way they played at the end of the year. Give me Vandy.
4-seed Nebraska versus 13-seed Troy.
This will be the J-Man's bucket prediction of the week.
I had a feeling that was coming.
Well, this was in my bold predictions at the beginning of the year that Nebraska would lose their round one, and I'm taking Troy. I think Nebraska will feel immense, immense pressure on them, especially 11:40 Central Time tip on Thursday. They'll have all the eyes on them, really, because there's not many. I think that there's only one other game going on at that time. Troy's a tough one. I watched a little bit of Troy. I mean, they've won at San Diego State. I think they won at USC as well. So they've beaten some high majors. San Diego State is not really a high major. I count them as a high major just because
they were runner up a few years ago.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And they're usually good. And they were good this year. They just missed the tourney, though.
Who's J-Man's book of prediction?
It is by Travis Watchering, Insurance Agency for Life, Home, Auto, Business, Renters, Workers' Comp, Farm Insurance. Contact Travis 219-869-4561. Book it.
I am taking Nebraska, but it would not shock me if they struggle with the pressure. Yeah. But I think they find a way to win one. They finally get that monkey off their back. 6-seed North Carolina against 11-seeded VCU back in the tournament.
No Caleb Wilson for North Carolina. I think they'll win just because they're in Greenville. I think that'll be a very good game, though.
I like UNC as well for pretty much all the reasons you said. Your number 3 Fighting Illini versus the 14-seeded Penn Quakers.
Yeah, we can't escape Fran McCaffrey.
Called it, man.
Fran's due for a win over Brad. I think he's lost 8 of his last 9 or 9 of his last 10 against Illinois. Illinois shouldn't have an issue with Penn. Shouldn't. Penn shoots the three ball well, though. And that's something that Illinois has not been very good defending. But Illinois should get whatever they want offensively. And they have much, they have a great advantage size-wise. So hopefully Kylan Boswell had a players-only meeting on Saturday with Pete's and Wings trying to get them all kind of locked in. Hopefully it works. A lot of times players-only meetings are a kiss of death. So
yeah,
we'll see. But I feel good about them winning this one. I feel good about them getting to the second weekend, honestly.
I got Illinois in this one. I don't even think the game's that close. So
they're 24.5-point favorites last time I saw. So
yeah. 7-seed St. Mary's versus 10-seed Texas A&M.
St. Mary's is a program that seems like it's in the tourney all the time, and they never get to a second weekend. But I think they're better than A&M, so give me St. Mary's.
I agree. I think they're better as well. 2-seed Houston versus 15-seed Idaho, who is the 7th seed, I believe, or maybe 6th seed in their conference tournament and won it.
Yeah, first time they've made the tournament since, I think, 1990 is what I read. So give me Houston, though.
Large. Yeah, I'm thinking Houston as well. Go back up to the East. Second round matchups. We both have number 1-seed Duke against number 8-seed Ohio State.
Give me Duke. I think Duke's very, very good.
I agree. We both have 5-seed St. John's versus 4-seed Kansas.
Give me St. John's. I just think they're quite a bit better than Kansas.
I'm right there with you. You have 6-seeded Louisville against 3-seeded Michigan State. I have 11-seeded South Florida against 3-seeded Michigan State.
Give me Louisville in an upset.
I'm taking the Bulls in an upset. I got South Florida making the Sweet 16. We both have 7-seeded UCLA against 2-seeded UConn.
Give me UConn.
I really want to pick UCLA in this game, but I just don't think I don't think they'll do it. So I'm taking UConn. Over in the West, we got 1-seed Arizona versus I got them against 8-seed Villanova. You got 9-seed Utah State.
Give me Arizona that one.
Take Arizona as well. We both have 5-seed Wisconsin against 4-seed Arkansas.
Give me Wisconsin. Sorry, no. I'm sorry, Arkansas.
I'm taking Arkansas as well. We both have 6-seed BYU against 3-seed Gonzaga.
This would be a really good game. Give me Gonzaga, though. They might get Braden Huff back for this week. If not, they'll be could be back for the Sweet 16. But give me the Zags. Hang on.
I'm taking the Zags as well. We both have number 2, Purdue. You got them against 10-seed Missouri. I got them against 7-seed Miami.
I think Purdue makes second weekend again. Give me Purdue.
I got Purdue advancing to the Sweet 16 as well. I read today, you know, especially since the COVID year or that year got canceled, didn't happen. They've made 9 consecutive NCAA tournaments in each of those. They've made 9 in a row now that they've been 4th seed or higher.
I was thinking about that
they
earlier.
They made 11 in a row. They made 11 in a row, but yeah.
I would like to point out that they would not have made it in 2020. I like to point
unless
that out.
They made a run in the Big Ten tournament.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Evan Boudreaux,
I do know.
Got hot.
I do.
You did not know. You did not know. 1-seed Michigan. You got them against 9-seed St. Louis. I got them against 8-seeded Georgia.
Yeah, give me Michigan.
I got Michigan as well. You got 5-seed Tech against 13-seed Hofstra. I have them against 4th-seeded Alabama.
Give me Tech.
I got Tech advancing to no. I'm taking Alabama. Taking Alabama. We both have 6-seed Tennessee against 3-seed Virginia.
Give me Tennessee and an upset there.
Ugh. I'm taking 3-seed Virginia in that one. And then you got 7-seed Kentucky against 2-seed Iowa State. I have 10-seed Santa Clara against 2-seed Iowa State.
Yeah, give me Iowa State.
I got the Cyclones as well. And over in the West, 1-seed Florida against 8-seed Clemson is the matchup we both have.
Give me Florida.
I am taking Florida as well. You got 13-seed Troy against 5-seed Vanderbilt.
Give me Vandy.
And I have 4-seeded Nebraska, but I have Vanderbilt going to the Sweet 16. We both have a rematch of the 05 national title game, 6-seeded North Carolina against 3-seeded Illinois.
I think Illinois has the most favorable 3-6 matchup out of anyone. Especially with no Caleb Wilson there. I mean, we have Tennessee, BYU, and Louisville. I'd take North Carolina any day of the week over those three. Give me Illinois to get to the second weekend. I think they kind of lock in. I'm hoping anyway. It is in Greenville, South Carolina, but Duke also plays in Greenville that same day. So
yep.
That should help matters.
I'm taking Illinois as well. And then we got 7-seed St. Mary's against 2-seed Houston.
Give me Houston.
Yeah, Houston as well, who's a better offensive team than they were last year, but not as good defensively as they were last year. Sweet 16 time in the East. We both have Duke against St. John's.
Give me Duke. I think that'd be a fantastic game, though.
Yeah, I got Duke as well, even with their injuries. And I have South Florida versus UConn. You have UConn versus Louisville.
Yeah, I have UConn. I'm going very chalky. I hate it.
I have UConn as well. The run for the bowl stops in the Sweet 16. Over in the West, we got Arkansas versus Arizona.
Give me Arizona.
I got Arizona as well. And Purdue against Gonzaga.
Sorry, T-Dog, I'm taking Gonzaga just because I can't have all ones and twos, and I think that's what I'm going to end up doing.
Gonzaga's due against Purdue. Purdue's got their
number. They are.
Yeah. But in their plane to open up the year next year in Vegas.
Really?
But I'm taking Purdue. Brayden Smith loves playing against Gonzaga pretty much because Gonzaga tried to poach him. So I got Purdue the Elite Eight. Yes, they tried to poach him 2 years ago.
Oh.
It was, not very well kept secret. So, all right. Alabama. I got Alabama versus Michigan. That's a football matchup. You got Michigan versus Texas Tech.
Give me Michigan.
I am taking Michigan as well. I have Tennessee. I have Iowa State versus Virginia. You have Tennessee versus Iowa State.
Give me Iowa State.
I'm taking Iowa State as well. And then Florida versus Vanderbilt. We both have that matchup.
Vanderbilt just smoked them. And I think they do it again. I think his name's Tyler Tanner, their point guard there at Vanderbilt.
Great last name.
They have a Chandler Bing on their roster, who's one of their best players. So that's kind of fun too. Give me Vandy. I think they go to the Elite Eight. Mark Byington, coach.
I want to take Vanderbilt, but since you did, I'm taking Florida. Yeah. Illinois versus Houston. That game would be in Houston, correct?
Yes, it would. As I said, North Carolina was the most favorable six. Houston was the 1-2 I wanted to avoid out of all of the four that are in it. Give me Houston. I just think they're too tough for Illinois.
Yeah, I'm taking the Cougs as well. So Elite Eight in the East, we both have Duke against UConn.
Give me Duke, unfortunately.
I'm taking Duke as well in that one. In the West, you have Arizona versus Gonzaga. I have Arizona versus Purdue.
Give me Gonzaga. Make it to the Final Four.
I am taking Arizona, unfortunately. I think Purdue falls just short from making it to Indianapolis, but hey.
Purdue would definitely have the experience factor because I think Arizona starts three freshmen. They're very
good. I'd take it, even though it would be played in San Jose against Elite Eight. Sign me up.
No,
Michigan against Iowa State. We both have that matchup.
Give me Iowa State. I think I had in my bold predictions that a Big Ten team would finally break the streak, or maybe I didn't. I don't remember.
You did, and you had at least two Big Ten teams making the Final Four.
Well, I'm going against it.
That's fine. I don't like Michigan, but I think they make the Final Four. I can't stand them, to be honest, but I think they beat Iowa State and make the Final Four. And then Florida and Houston. Are you Vandy and Houston for you?
Yeah, Houston. And I have Houston winning that one.
Yes, I have Houston over Florida myself. So yeah, I have three ones and a two. And you have
a 1, 2, 3, and 2. So I honestly Gonzaga's in there just so it wouldn't be 1-2, 1-2 or 1-1, 1-1.
Duke and Houston.
Give me Duke.
I'm taking Duke as well. And I have Arizona, Michigan. You have Arizona and Iowa State.
I have Gonzaga and Iowa State.
I clicked the wrong button. There we go. I fixed it.
Give me Iowa State.
Iowa State. I'm taking Arizona. So you have Duke and Iowa State, and I have Duke and Arizona.
I think Duke wins the title this year. I think they're the best team in the country. I think they proved it against Michigan. Boozer, fantastic. If NBA GMs were smart, they'd take him. But I think they'll pick apart his game a little bit because he's kind of boring, but he just produces, man.
Well, it's in Indianapolis. Duke cuts down the nets almost every time. It's in Indianapolis.
Yep.
I got a rematch of the 0-1 championship with Duke in Arizona, but I got Arizona coming out on top.
I like it.
So,
All righty.
Yep, there we go. And everybody can go replay this and make fun of us when we are way wrong.
Way wrong. Yeah.
But one thing I wanted to look up before, I know we still have blind rankings in on this day. We got to fly through. But I wanted to see who we had in our preseason Final Four predictions. So I am bringing it up on our Instagram here. I had Purdue, Florida, Houston, and Duke.
Purdue, Florida, Houston. That's a good, that's a really good one.
You had UConn, Florida, Texas Tech, and Duke.
Okay. Okay. That's honestly not too bad. I think if JT Toppin wouldn't have gotten hurt, I think Tech would have been a 3 or 2 seed.
Yep.
I'd feel a little better about it. So not too bad.
Yeah, we both had Duke and Florida, and then we've differed on Purdue, Houston, and UConn and Texas Tech.
So, all right.
Not bad.
Blind rank is obviously NCAA tourney related. I have 5 tourney POIs in the NCAA tourneys. Actually, hold on 1 second. Let me start over. I have 5 players that won the POI in the Final Four of games in which they beat a Big Ten opponent in the national championship game, if that makes sense. Starting with Juan Dixon.
Oh, beat Indiana in the 0-2 national title game, played on the Wizards for a good amount of time, probably a few other stops in the NBA. I was just too young to remember a lot of his college career. Same. So yeah. I'm putting him at 5, but I know he was a stud.
Corey Brewer.
Remember Corey Brewer better. He was kind of forgotten on those Florida teams because Noah and Horford got more of the publicity.
Yeah.
But he was a good one. I'll put him at 4.
Wayne Ellington.
Definitely clutch player. I'm going to put him at, I'm going to put him at 3. I hate that I'm going in backwards order, but that's what we're doing.
Sean May. That one hurts.
Oh, Sean May. He did not pan out in the pros at all. A highly recruit out of Bloomington, Indiana. Indiana couldn't keep him in their own. And his daddy was a legend for Indiana. They couldn't keep him in town with North Carolina. Yeah. I'll put him at 1 just to tick you off.
I think you'll be okay with that. My final one here is Luke Hancock, Louisville.
Yeah, Louisville. I'm good with 2. I'm good with 2. Man, I hadn't thought of some of those names for a while.
I know. Well, yeah, looking at all of them, it's like none were like superstars in the NBA that won the POIs against them. I could have gone to the Duke guy. I think Jahlil Okafor, or was it Jones? Tyus Jones for Duke?
I think it was Tyus Jones, I think.
Tyus, or was it his brother?
Yeah,
was
Tyrus. Tyrus?
Was it Tyrus and Tyus? Because there's 2. I don't know. I don't really care, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, one or the other, right?
Yeah.
So, but good blind rankings. That's a blind ranking segment, which is brought to you by Like Is Every Performer by Performer Print 2 Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for your next trade show, company picnic, or sales meeting in 2026, Performer Print 2 Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs. So, you need to look no further. Let them be your one source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815. All right. You want to get educated, J-Man?
I do. Always.
All right. Let's look at some sporting events that have happened on this day on March 16th. 316 day for all you pro wrestling fans out there. Got my Stone Cold shirt on today for the 316 day. Let's see.
Did you get some pie on Pie Day a few days ago?
No, I wanted a pizza pie, but I didn't even get a pizza pie on Friday either.
It's a shame.
But, yeah, I know it. Man, now I want pie. Thanks, Josh. On this day, 1953, the AL rejected St. Louis Browns owner Bill Veeck's request to move his team to Baltimore.
Hmm.
On this day, 1983, the smallest crowd of 1,814 attended the NBA's Cavaliers versus New York Nets game at the Cleveland Coliseum. Oh boy, we're in the '90s.
Not great. Huh? I figured there'd be some tourney ones.
We got a lot of conference tourney ones.
Oh yeah, it's kind of early this year.
Yeah, they're ACC and SEC tournaments though.
Yeah.
I was in 2008. Dale Jarrett retired from points racing after the 2008 Food City 500.
Food City.
Yeah. We got some Big East tournaments. It's all conference tournaments, so it's not NCAA. Maybe we'll get some next year. On this day in 2020, MLB baseball suspended the remainder of spring training and delayed the start of regular season in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. Return dependent on recommendations by Centers for Disease Control.
Yeah, that was a rough March 2020 is not one that I'll remember fondly.
It's absolutely sure. Awful. Yeah. And on this day in 2022, after 20 seasons as Fox NFL's lead broadcast team, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman joined ESPN as the new lead commentators of Monday Night Football.
It's been 4 years already?
I guess.
Lord.
Yeah, so it was like two.
Yeah.
And on this day last year, who won the Players' Championship?
Don't even have a guess for you.
Rory McIlroy.
Ah, my boy. Second
players title in a three-hole aggregate playoff against J.J. Spahn, who would go on to win the U.S. Open last year. So, yes. So.
You watched any of the World Baseball Classic by chance?
Very little.
I've watched maybe an inning's worth. I hate it. Absolutely hate it.
I can't get into it.
It's cool. I've always hated it because I hate when Cubs players are playing it because I just want them to get ready for the season. So I don't care if the U.S. or anyone wins the World Baseball Classic. I want to win a World Series. Yeah. And Seiya Suzuki got hurt on Friday, and he's getting an MRI on his knee. He slid into second. I hate it. Absolutely hate it.
Yeah.
But the U.S. is in the final. They beat Dominican, so good for them.
Well, they had to have help after they screwed it up against Italy.
Yeah, Mark DeRosa, it might be
– What an idiot.
The dumbest Ivy League grad in the history of
– I mean, how do you not check that?
Man. Yeah.
But on this day is brought to you by, like, as every week, Blue River Digital. Blue River Digital is a full-service smart marketing agency. They help businesses simplify marketing and grow with intention. Their focus is on system strategy and long-term results, not hype or one-off tactics. They offer digital marketing, website development, graphic design, printing and direct mail, signage and vehicle graphics, corporate apparel, promotional items, and AI and automations. They work with small, medium and large businesses spanning across the United States with a strong presence in Northern Indiana. Contact them today at 260-248-2749 to see how they can help you and your business with your digital marketing. All right, J-Man.
I think
ready
I got
for birdie
this.
Or bogey, or do you have another thought?
Baseball season starts next Thursday. So, I think we'll be doing our Major League Baseball preview next week.
I'm going to have to do a lot of research.
Yeah.
So, all good. All good, though. Fran McCaffrey became the fifth men's basketball college coach all time to lead five or more programs to the NCAA tournaments. He did it with Siena, Lehigh, University of North Carolina, Greensboro, Iowa, now Penn. Who are the other four coaches to lead five or more teams in the NCAA tournament?
Steve Alford
with Missouri State, Iowa, New Mexico, UCLA, and Nevada.
Lon Kruger
with Kansas State, Florida, Illinois, UNLV, and Oklahoma.
Rick Pitino,
you at least got a par with Boston, Providence, Kentucky, Louisville, Iona, and St. John's.
And Tubby Smith,
good birdie, my friend, with Tulsa, Georgia, Kentucky, Minnesota, and Texas Tech. Never got high point there, though.
I'll be honest with you. I had that saved for my birdie bogey next week. So that's just – that's got to be like the first time that's happened.
You win some, you lose some. Yep. Every once in a while, there's only so many sources you can go to find them.
Yeah.
Got to hope the other guy doesn't see it. So, well, good job taking advantage. Good job remembering. And a good job getting a birdie.
If I wouldn't have seen that yesterday, I would say I might have gotten Pitino, maybe Alford. But there's no way I would have gotten a par. So
no, I would have struggled that one. So
yeah. But thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man Show. Have a fantastic basketball watching week. Have a great week, everybody.